Hello and welcome to the Every Child, Every Day podcast. I'm your host, Rob Arnold, Superintendent of Amherst County Public Schools. During the time that we are under the governor's stay-at-home order, thought it would be important to provide some very specific advice to students and parents regarding different aspects of the coronavirus. On our last three shows, we have discussed how these unprecedented times impact our emotional health. We discussed the safety precautions needed during this time, and we gave advice on physical routines. Today, we're going to talk to two Amherst County Public School teachers about sharpening your students' problem-solving skills. Is Amherst County talented and gifted teacher Beverly Brown and Amherst Middle School science teacher Lisa Law. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's how we'll go about this. You know, we've talked about on the last several shows, we've talked about advice about how to help a child with emotional stress and physical routines and those kinds of things. And one that I'm very interested in having a conversation about as we, you know, learning never stops and we're trying to develop life-ready students. And part of that is problem solving. And I can think of no better way of helping kids sharpening their problem solving skills than through science, scientific method, at-home projects. So I think that's where we're going to start. And I believe, Lisa, I'm going to let you start with this question. So kind of just give a brief description for folks. If it's been a while since they've done science, what is the scientific method? And why is it important for all ages to understand that?
Well, in a nutshell, the scientific method teaches the brain to logically examine and process all the information it receives. The scientific method, it is an important fundamental process in science that goes beyond the science classroom. It is a technique that actually trains the student how to answer a question in a logical manner. And this method teaches the student to analyze and process information he or she is receiving. And that's beneficial in all subject areas. So I look at the scientific method as a way to solve problems, and many people use the scientific method intuitively, and they don't even realize they're using it. Students need to know that science, it just isn't a subject, but it's a way of understanding the world around us. And parents can encourage curiosity in their children by asking the questions, what would happen if? So the scientific method provides us with a roadmap to find answers or questions for our curious youth. It keeps them from wandering just aimlessly in search of answers, and it builds self-reliance. So searching for solutions, it has a deeper impact on students than just giving them an answer, and that they not only have to find the answer, but they also have to find the right questions to ask. The scientific method, it consists of different components, like observation, where we see something, usually in nature, and that causes us to pose a question. Then we go out and we conduct research, and then we make what's called an educated guess, which is a rationale or answer to our questions. And we call that a hypothesis. So we test the hypothesis by experimentation and test to ensure that reproducibility. So to summarize the scientific method, it's the foundation to understanding the world around us.
Yeah, and so, we talk about, we have a really complex world and really complex problems, and I believe it's this generation of students, whether this is unfortunate or not, they're going to have to solve some really difficult problems as they move into the adult world. And so we want to give them all the skills that they can muster in terms of problem solving. Bev, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, she stated it very well, and I just want to say that children are great. They like to ask, why do I have to learn this? And I think science provides it such a way because it does help our world, and it's a great way to relate to real-world problems and solutions.
Yeah, so, okay, other than the scientific method, are there other concepts that kind of are universally beneficial to all students?
Absolutely. Quantifying, reproducibility, and communication, these are all concepts in science that can be applied to all disciplines. So the primary idea is to quantify things to enable the testing of hypotheses. If we can measure something, then it can be tested. Reproducibility is also key to building a system that works. So I always like to go back, I always think of the Wright brothers. They built more than one aircraft and were able to reproduce the parts that worked and modify those that did not. So being able to get consistent results builds confidence in one's understanding. And then communication is key. Communication to share results and knowledge gained allows others to either affirm our results or build on them. And most scientific research leads to more questions. It is important to know which ones have already been answered. And communication, I think, is just key everywhere. Even when parents are trying to teach science at home, it's just how they communicate, asking questions to keep our kids engaged and curious in the outside world.
And you know, you just mentioned those three things, and it just strikes me as we're dealing with COVID-19, those are probably the three most important things that need to be happening right now in order to kind of get us on the other side of this thing. So, yeah, thanks for talking about that. Bev, let's talk a little bit about some ideas for parents, right? So parents have their students with them just about all day, every day, and we want to give them some ideas about how they can kind of try these things out at home. I want you to speak to elementary age. So what are some ideas for parents and students?
Yes, sir. I knew that many of the children were in the process of completing their science fair projects before school ended, so I just wanted to take this opportunity to encourage them to continue and perhaps add a few more trials to their experiment and store them in a safe place, and hopefully we can be shared when we return to school. We'd love to see them. At-home projects can be fun for the entire family, and they don't necessarily require an extra amount of materials. For example, this one can be adapted to all levels of children. And one thing I stress to children is that they're good observers. And I think one way to do this is by nature's scavenger hunt with the whole family. You get fresh air, you get exercise, and it could be as simple as just making a list of different things you can find on the wall. Older children or parents can create this hunt. You can adapt it to whatever age level or ability level you're talking about. You can make it in form of a bingo board, and you can also use the Amherst County Public Schools website under the academics tab and look for the science pacing guides. For example, a kindergarten objective for the fourth midweeks might include how plants and animals require certain things for survival, and the nature scavenger hunt could include comparing and contrast the plant that grows in the sunlight with the plant growing in the shady area. Another bonus could incorporate the recycling and being careful with our earth. You could do a trash recycling cleanup on your walks and use gloves and discuss with your child how important it is to the real world for our future resources. As discussed earlier, I believe that the real world connection is very important. Your family could have something like an invention convention to identify problems. Walk through your home and see some problems like, how can we get the toothpaste out more efficiently, or how can we prevent soap scum from building up in the dish, or feed your plants when they're home, or where do plants thrive the best and what part of the house. Then the children and parents can create something with materials that they have in the house or conduct the experiment and present them to each other, maybe in the form of a commercial and video. I've seen some amazing inventions from children that might need to be patented in the future.
Yeah.
Another thing, many of our schools were getting ready for STEM nights, and you could create a family STEM night. And I view this like my own family, and then we've shared our results through whatever communication device you can. It can be as simple as, what can you make from a paper towel or toilet paper roll using the materials in your house? They can create, the children can create the project, which I find in the classroom, sometimes the children come up with the best ideas. You might want to set what they, the components, what they have to have in their project and see where they go. Many students have Legos and dominoes. They can create a marble run or a roller coaster for a small child. You can, a roller coaster with a small car. And you can have older children expand this by creating a course that would cause chain reactions. Those are a lot of fun, too. And, of course, the chemical reactions always create those aha moments for children. There's one experiment called a rainbow in a jar, and you can pour a half a cup of olive oil carefully down the side of a jar, mix a half a cup of rubbing alcohol with two drops of red food coloring, and carefully pour it down and close it up, and you'll see a rainbow in a jar, and the children really enjoy this kind of thing. Cooking activities provide many opportunities to talk about science, incorporating the measurements. I know it's a little warm for hot chocolate, but one of the things the children could do was take two different sized marshmallows and see which one will melt faster in hot chocolate. It can be in a lesson. You can do charts and graphs, learn time. So all kinds of things can be learned through simple experiments. So I guess the main thing to remember is science is a subject in school. It's everywhere. It can be in your home.
Yeah, and so that's interesting, because in talking to the PE teachers, they encourage an activity going for walks with your family. And so if we can incorporate the science into that. And then when we talked about the emotional health, they talked about cooking and how important cooking could be. So I think a lot of these things kind of cross paths, and that's good for students and parents to engage in those kinds of things. So, Lisa, let's talk a little bit about a little bit older student, a little bit more experience in the science world. What are some ideas for those folks at home?
Okay. Well, much like art, there is creativity in science. When a student demonstrates curiosity, they should be rewarded with a project that helps develop that curiosity, although sometimes they do need a little bit of a jump start. Many of the activities I do with students can be used at all grade levels. It just depends on the limitations you give them. So with my teenagers, I give them parameters, such as it needs to be this size, or you can only use these materials. So when you add limitations to these projects, it will increase the level of complexity. So here are several ideas for projects that you can do at home. And one of my favorite projects is using junk around the house, because we all have boxes of junk at home. So this is a great opportunity to use some of these materials. And so I like to refer to these projects as my junk box projects. Mm-hmm. Because you can make them as complex or as simple as you want, depending on the age of your child. So here are some examples that I like to do. For example, designing a catapult using a box of junk. You can make this activity more difficult by limiting the material and the size. So you can tell the kids it has to launch a certain object for a certain distance. You can also tie in history by talking about the history of catapults and the different types of catapults. Another example is the egg drop project, and that can be adapted for any age. This project is for kids to design a device using various materials to protect a raw egg from a high fall. And we usually drop ours from the top of a ladder. I will climb to the top of the ladder and drop the designs with the egg in it. But this activity gives kids a chance to develop problem solving and observation skills. For older students, like my teenagers, you could tell them that the device holding their egg represents a care package that must safely be delivered to people in a disaster area with no road access. And students design their devices using a number of requirements and constraints, such as limited supplies and time. You can also build a bridge that will support the most weight. You could use different size rocks. If you don't have a whole bunch of pennies or washers, you could just use different size rocks that you have at home. This project gets students asking questions such as, how are bridges designed? Which style will work best for my project? And so they can spend some time researching those questions. They could even make a paperclip motor by just using a D battery, some paperclips, and copper wire. And there's a lot of pictures of this found online, and kids seem to really enjoy this project. But what I love most about all these different types of projects is that you can turn them into family fun. You can get the whole family involved and have a competition because learning should be fun. There are also a lot of projects that you can do in your kitchen. And actually, if you're going to do science at home, that's probably one of the best places to do it because it's going to get a little messy. Mm-hmm. You could have the kids build a tower with 10 pieces of spaghetti and 20 mini marshmallows. And what you're doing is you're limiting the resources to test what shape will provide the greatest height or the strength. And what this is doing for your student is it's building their knowledge of geometry, stability, and measurements. So if they repeat the build using the lessons learned from their first attempt, they should expect to build a taller tower. If they cannot, that raises another question. So there is not failure in these projects, only learning what works and what does not. And that's one of the main reasons that science is respected is because things work.
Right.
You could also give students a piece of aluminum foil, 1 square foot of aluminum foil, and have them build a boat. To test the capacity of the boat using pennies. And you could ask the student, what could be done to allow the boat to hold more pennies? So you could give them another square of foil and let them test their hypothesis. This will build their knowledge about density and buoyancy and how shapes affect load capacity and how loading the pennies helps with weight distribution. There's can crushing. If you have a 12-ounce soda can, you can have the student, with supervision, of course, because it's going to involve your stove in the kitchen, put a little bit of water in the bottom of the can, put it on the stove, wait until it starts to steam. Using kitchen tongs, just flip it over so that the top part of the can is in a bowl of ice water. And what this does is it shows the kids phase changes and air pressure because the air pressure pushes in on the can that has a vacuum formed and the steam quickly condenses to water. Now that's going to take some practice. But the kids enjoy it, so they like doing that over and over again.
Might want to look that one up before they do it.
It really is a lot of fun, and the kids enjoy doing it. So if it doesn't work the first time, it's okay. They want to try it again. Chromatography. Chromatography is something that biochemists use to separate mixtures. You can use this in your kitchen with a coffee filter, a black marker, as long as it's not a permanent marker, water, coffee cup, and scissors. It's so easy. You just cut a circle out of the coffee filter, take the marker, and draw a line across the circle. Put a little water in the bottom of the cup, just enough to cover the bottom, and watch as the water flows up the paper. As that water flows up and it touches that black mark, it will start to separate into different colors. And kids are just amazed by that. And so you can ask that can lead to a whole bunch of questions. Well, why is it doing that? You know, what causes that to happen? Balloon rockets, especially since this is Easter weekend, balloon rockets, so much fun for kids. All you need for that is a straw, a balloon, a string, timer, and tape. And this activity actually demonstrates some basic physics, such as action and reaction and acceleration, which are all Newton's laws. Students can experiment how to make the balloon go slower or faster, and they can actually calculate speed, which is distance divided by time. And that is something that a lot of seventh grade students, that was in physical science, that was one of their concepts that they had to learn this year. But if you don't have supplies, you know, at home to do these activities, it's okay because there's some really easy journal activities for kids. Like they can use a notebook and they can draw the moon phases each night, or they can look at the clouds each day and draw their shape. You can even do moon phases with Oreo cookies.
Yeah, that's one I was looking at the other day. I really like the Oreos.
And then
Oreos,
you can eat the cookies.
Yeah,
eat the cookies afterwards.
Kind of have the no moon phase in, when I have the Oreo cookies. They're all gone. So sounds like it's limitless. If you have an imagination or you have a question about this world and how it works, you have a science project.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, you do.
So, and y'all gave a lot of good ideas. But what are there other resources that parents can access that will assist, especially with maybe some of the ones that you guys had mentioned and maybe some of the steps that are required?
Yes, there's a plethora of information out there. But one of the websites that I love that I think parents would love is sciencespot.net. Because on sciencespot.net, you can find the junk box projects.
Mm-hmm.
It has lesson plans and activities for all the different science disciplines. It's just a lot of fun and educational things for the kids to do. There's also, right now, the National Science Teaching Association, the NSTA, is offering a free 30-day membership, and that provides thousands of learning resources and tools. And there's actually a YouTube video that parents may want to watch. It's by an educator, and he's also a YouTuber. He puts lots of videos on YouTube. It's called Teaching Science at Home, a Survival Guide for Parents.
Okay.
And I watched it and loved it because he goes through how to teach science at home and that you don't need a lot of materials to just teach science. But there's also the Science Buddies. There's Steve Spangler, Bill Nye the Science Guy, SciShow Kids. All of these things the kids are familiar with, Bill Nye and the SciShow Kids. All of those provide good lessons and information and activities for children.
Yes. And I'd like to add just two more. One is called the Destination Imagination Instant Challenges. They are free resources, and they're from a lot of states, and they will give you these instant challenges that are short, quick challenges that children are scored on usually, but parents can use them. Just it really promotes problem-solving, create critical thinking skills. The other one I want to mention is the NASA.gov. That has a wonderful resource, and there is a tab under the audience just for students. But I had the privilege of working with NASA a couple of years ago, and it's just amazing. If children are interested in space, this would be a really, really good website to go to.
Well, those are all really good. Yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to add one additional thing before we end. If the parents do not have any way to do any of these activities with the kids, just simply asking open-ended questions, which are, you know, questions that have more than one correct answer, and they can actually work through the scientific method just by asking questions to their children. One example I'll give you is about observation. Observation is a big one in the scientific method, but you could ask your child, hey, what shapes do you see in that spider web? Or does the crust on this bread feel different from the crust on that one? So just simple open-ended questions can help.
Yep.
Yeah, and so, you know, and some folks might be asking, well, why are we spending so much time on the science projects, those kinds of things? But I think it really is in line with what Amherst County Schools is trying to do in creating our students that are going to be life ready. And so if you're at home and you're really struggling with what to do with your child, when in doubt, ask a question. Create a problem that your student has to solve, because ultimately those are the skills that will be most beneficial when they go into the real world and their adult world. They're going to have to solve problems, and they become more complex by the day. And so, you know, we're in an age where information is at everyone's fingertips just about. And so it's going to be
this generation's job to kind of just take all that information and solve problems with it. And so I appreciate you guys. I know you guys are passionate about science and at-home science projects and those kinds of things. But I want to encourage everybody to really think about how you get your child at home to be problem solvers and critical thinkers. And really what you guys have given them today are really great starts towards that. So I want to thank you guys for taking your time. It's awesome that you've done this. I believe it's helping parents. I know it's, you hear from them that it's not the easiest thing in the world. And so, you know, we appreciate you guys taking some time out today and talking to us.
You're very welcome.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. So for our listeners, thank you for joining us. We will continue these podcasts that provide you at-home advice for ways to keep your students engaged and healthy. We want to ask that everybody stay safe and everybody have a great day.